I will tell you, I saw a picture a little while ago that was it was so special. I saw a picture of Chris and Aaron sitting outside on, they were sitting on the sidewalk. Young man had come, and he was sitting outside crying and just, you know, some struggles, some needs, and they sat down and were talking to him, ended up leading him to the Lord. He got saved, sitting right out there. And I saw that picture, and here you had Aaron and Chris, and then he was sitting right there, and they were all just talking. That was very special, but I thought that's the heart of this church. That's the heart of Harvest. We may not always get everything right, but that's the heart of Harvest. And that's the part that I hope we never forget, that there are people out there who need him. And we will go wherever, even if we're sitting on a sidewalk and somebody has to help us up. And I'm not going to tell you this part. Chris, maybe Chris had to have some help getting up. I'm not even going. Turn with me to the book of John. Chapter 1, I love this book. You know, I've already been preaching from it for several weeks. And the big thing is we're talking about Jesus. And how can you go wrong when you're talking about Jesus? Impossible. If I could do one thing, let me ask you, how many of you have seen Men in Black? Anybody seen Men in Black? Y'all have seen it? And you know how they take the little thing, they put their sunglasses on, they take the little thing and go, and then they forget. If I could offer you a gift this morning, the gift would be that I could take that little thing and cause you just for a few minutes to forget everything that you've ever heard and everything you know about Jesus. Because the passage that I'm going to share with you should stir and create such awe. But sometimes I'm afraid that it's that because of what we already know, we miss it. And so I would give you the gift of hearing again for the first time about who this one is that's unlike any other, that came into this world to change all of our lives, or those who would believe on him. So let's start reading in verse 1, and I want you to get a picture. John is, imagine that John is standing here and we're all listening to him tell a story. And we know nothing about who he's talking about here. So we're only going along with him as he speaks, and we're gaining knowledge as he goes. And he starts with a view from, let's call it a helicopter view. He starts from a helicopter view there, and then he's going to bring us all the way down in just a few minutes to the earth. And I want you to notice what he says. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. He was with God in the beginning. So first of all, John starts out to say, I'm going to tell you about one from the beginning. I'm going to tell you about one that if you go all the way back to creation, I want to tell you about one who was there. And his name was, or we know him as, the Word right now. And so now we're just kind of pulling up close and saying, tell us more. And so John says, well, okay, but not only was he in the beginning, he was before the beginning. He was already there when the beginning began. He was before the beginning. There's never been a time that he was not. And not only was he with God, but he was God. So now we know he's talking about this being. He's talking about the creator of all things. Nothing was made by him. Nothing was created that wasn't made by him. And so he's given us this picture. This is the Word. Then he goes on. Through him, verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In him was life. There is no life other than Jesus. There is no real life. There, we have what we think in this world is life because we've been born naturally. The life he's talking about is the life that is God in us. And he's saying that is real life, and only that life brings life. Any other thing that appears as life that is outside of Jesus is really darkness. And so he's exposing all that. He's given us this picture. We see now, we see the Word, and now we see life. The one who was life, and now we're seeing the one who is light. And so he's bringing it down. He's given us this picture of this being. Now, the reason right now, most of us, including myself, are not experiencing the awe that somebody who had never heard of Jesus would experience is because we've heard, we've read. And sometimes when you've heard, there's this little thing in our mind that says, oh, I've heard that before. And sometimes when you read, oh, I've read that before. And so it's hard for us to grasp with virgin minds. It's hard for us to grasp it and experience it for the very first time. But what I'm asking is for the Holy Spirit to help us do what we would not be able to do otherwise. That he'll help us see something that we have never recognized or seen before. Because what he is doing is trying to reveal to all of mankind who this God is. And so he goes on. He's the light. Look at verse 6. I think this is pretty cool. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So he's talking about John the Baptist. If I'm sitting there and I say this, he says this man sent from God, I'm going to say, oh, was his name John? And then he's going to get ready to tell us, well, no, he wasn't John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So just in case y'all think John is the Messiah, I want you to know, nope, he's just a witness. He just came to tell us about him, but he's not him yet. So we still don't have a name. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. If there's anything that ought to expose to us the power of darkness and the power of what happened in the Garden of Eden, God created, God breathed into Adam and Eve his very life. And now we have a situation where the very beings that the Creator created can't even recognize him when he comes into the world. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if you spend your entire life raising your children, and sometimes this happens because of certain diseases, but you walk in and the people that you brought into this world don't even recognize you. We don't even know who you are. And they don't recognize him. But listen to what he says. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. Who is that? That's the Jewish nation. He came to the Jewish nation, and his own people did not receive him. How would you feel if they heard who you are, and then they reject you? They're hearing that you're the Messiah. You're showing the miracles. You're letting them see the things that tell who you are, and yet even with all the miracles and everything that is happening, they're still rejecting you. The very one that you came for. He goes on. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name. How do you receive him? How do we receive him? He just said it. How do we receive him? To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We, at this point, if we don't know the story already, we should be sitting here saying, what? I can be a child of God, the creator of the universe. I can be his child. There should be something inside of us that is leaping, saying, yes, that is the most awesome thing I ever heard. I could be a child of God. Yet, we miss the awe. We miss the awe of it. Because most of us say, oh, I already know that. I already know it. I'm a child of God. But when you're going to preach the deep stuff, that is. That right there is as deep as it gets. I want you to know that the Lord desires for you to know him and believe in him. And for all who will receive him and believe in him, they will be children of God with all the benefits of being a child of God. Do you know that Ephesians 1:3 says that as children of God that we receive all the spiritual blessings of God, that we, all the spiritual blessings are ours. All blessings are ours. And then he goes on. Oh, man. Children born not of natural descent. These little babies up here, those little babies that we prayed for, those little babies were born of natural descent. That was natural descent. Natural world. They were born of human decision. Mom and daddy, somehow, somebody that made a decision to do something. Or a husband's will. Sometimes that's the case. Leave me alone. No, we got little Billy, little Junior's got to get into this world somehow. And can we edit that out before it goes out to the world? He says, but born of God. It's a spiritual birth. You are not a child of God because you were born physically into this world. We become children of God when we're born of God, when we're born spiritually, not the natural birth, but the spiritual birth. John testified, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So now we're back to the Word again. So far we have seen what? We've seen the Word, we've seen the light, we've seen the life. We're back to the Word again, became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. Now he's called a son. Now we're down to the point where we see the word son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Say that with me. Full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. He wasn't like, okay, I can be graceful or I can be truthful. He was full of grace and truth. Sometimes we can be graceful, or sometimes we can be truthful, but he was full of grace and truth, which means that he can't be anything other than that. Nothing else comes out of him but grace and truth. And so now, John testified concerning him when he cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke. I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. Let me say one little thing about that. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus, and yet John says he surpassed me because he was before me. He tells us, hey, he came into this world first. No. What is John saying? John's saying he was before me because he's always been. He's never not been. He was before me. No, we're not going by physical birth. We're going by spiritual, divine, divinity. Jesus has always been eternal. Out of his fullness. Listen to this again. I'm going to calm down here and I'm going to talk just a second. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in the place of grace already given. Not sure I can calm down on this one, but we'll see. What's he saying? How many of you have ever been to the beach? Any of y'all been to the beach? Playing in the ocean? the wave smacking you in the back of the head. It knocks you under the water. You raise up. You start to take a breath, and it hits you again. And now you're gulping salt water. And then you get up, and another wave hits you in the back of the head again. Do you know what he's saying? Jesus' grace, this is what he does. You'll never stop getting it because it's grace upon grace. It's wave after wave after wave after wave after wave of grace. You will never be without his grace. And his grace is his favor. He favors you. His favor is upon you as his child. His favor. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. That's mercy. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Right? It's him giving us. Mercy is God not, though we deserve hell, not giving it to us. He's not giving us what we deserve. His grace is that he gives us the very life of his son, and that his son comes into our life and brings his favor, and he walks with us in relationship. We don't deserve a relationship, but he gives it to us anyway. We don't deserve forgiveness, but he gives it to us anyway. We don't deserve his love, but he gives it to us anyway. Does that make sense? That's his wham, right? The back of the head, grace after grace after grace. Now, I'm going to spend 5 minutes, and then however much time after that, on this next little part, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, just think of this just for a second. See, you all expected me to say that, right? Y'all expected it because you've read it, because you know it. But for those of you that you forgot everything you ever learned about Jesus, right there is the first time you've heard his name. We've heard him as the Word. That is so awesome from the beginning. We've heard him as God the Word. We've heard about him as the light. The life that came into this world to bring light to all mankind. We've heard him as that. We heard him as the Son of God. But for the first time in John's talk, we just heard his name. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.
Doesn't like me talking about Jesus.
Is that me? Huh? Am I back up? Well, stay calm then. I must be. I think it's all the power going through me right now is messing up the power that's in this. So Jesus. His name is Jesus. It's all about him. And when we try to make it about anything other than him, we miss the story. We miss the story. John just brought us from the helicopter all the way down to the earth and told us his name is Jesus. But here is the thing that I want us to end on. He tells us the law came by Moses. The law came by Moses. But grace and truth through Jesus, right? The law came through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus. The law or the grace and truth could have never come through a mere mortal. Couldn't do it. The law could come through a mere mortal. Why? Because the law was death. All the law did was expose our sin. So when we see our sin, what's the Bible say about sin? The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. So all the law did was expose our sin and bring about our death in our understanding of that. That's all the law could do. So a mere mortal could, because we all are born dead. We all are born spiritually dead. Anybody can bring sin. Anybody can bring death. The law brought that. And here's the thing about the law. Let's take the Ten Commandments. Why did we even have the law? Why did God even have Moses bring the law? You would never know that you were a sinner if it were not for that law telling us that it was a sin. We watch in the Old Testament, brothers killing brothers and all kinds of things. It's like, well, okay, we got to create something. We got to let them know. We got to let them know that that's, you can't do that. So he gives Moses the Ten Commandments on stone. And of course, we know that Moses throws a tantrum and breaks a set, but then God gives them to him again. The Ten Commandments are perfect. The Ten Commandments are perfect. They expose the heart of God. They expose the morality of God, His character, who He is. It's all right there. You read them, you see it right there. The Ten Commandments are perfect. The problem is we are imperfect. And imperfect humans cannot keep a perfect law. So what we see them doing is creating hundreds of rules and other laws to try to help them keep the ten. So for instance, if you've got, a situation where here we've got a law that says that we should not covet our neighbor's wife or whatever, what happens? What do we do in that point? Well, shoot. We've got five guys over here down the street here have already coveted their neighbor's wife. What are we going to do to stop it? Well, maybe some rocks. So let's stone them. So, hey, you get caught in adultery, we're going to stone you. If you're a he or a she, you're dead. That might deter it. So do you see? So let's add some laws to try to help them not do what it is that God says don't do. They're perfect, but we're imperfect. And no amount of laws or rules could ever help us keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. But grace and truth came through Jesus. Moses, I let Moses come and give you that which exposes your weakness. I let Moses come and give you that which exposes the fact that you are creatures who cannot. You are fallen creatures. I let Moses do that. Moses even asked me, I'm talking like I'm God right now, but no, I'm not. But Moses even asked me if he could see my face, and I told him, no man can see my face and live. So I showed him my hind parts. Now, I know in this day and time to say that you know, it's like, okay, God's showing his hind parts. He did. He showed the aftermath of, he went by, and after he went by, then he allowed Moses to look. But he could not look on his face. It wasn't time yet. But then when time came, and we looked into the face of Jesus, we saw God for the first time. This is John. John is so thrilled. He's trying to explain all this, and I know that he has to be jumping inside like I am right now. He's got to be jumping for the first time. Do you see why I wanted to erase your minds? Do you see? For the first time, man sees God face to face in the face of Jesus. Grace and truth. Now, I'm gonna end with this, but listen just for a second. We live in probably the most confused society that there has been, maybe in forever, because we are moving and in the last days. But we can't figure grace and truth out. Because you see, there are some who say, Jesus, he's grace. He's all grace. He never tells anybody no. Anything goes. Do what you want to do, boo. You know, you just be you. Do what you want to do, boo. Just be you. You know, that's kind of what we hear. Just create your own truth. That way you can just be whatever. Because God is a God of grace. And it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you do. But then there's truth. And those who are proponents of truth only are some of the most hateful, mean people you've ever seen in your life. Grace without truth is meaningless. Truth without grace is mean. Right? Why? Because it's all about nothing other than this. Turn on YouTube at some point and you see they're telling you everybody, every pastor out there, every preacher out there that has done wrong. And I was the other day, and I don't watch these, but this one came and I clicked on it, and they were talking about this one pastor, how he was, you know, how was it, believed that he was God. And it played a clip, and I had heard the message. Played a clip of him saying, I am God Almighty. And he was saying something else. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, they could get me on that one. Because he wasn't saying that he was God Almighty. He did what I did just a minute ago. He was saying it as if so that we could hear God saying, I am God Almighty. But they didn't play that part. Why? Because there's no grace. There's no grace. It doesn't mean that anything goes. Grace is not just do anything you want to do whenever you want to do it. The very essence of grace says the opposite. Grace is God enabling us to live the life that we could have never lived before. But it's also there when we mess up. And we will at times. When we mess up, His grace is sufficient. His grace is completely sufficient. And we need to learn to rest in that. But it's the very fact that we have received that grace that brings us to a point of such love for Him that we desire to walk with Him. One way is an extreme when you leave truth out. The other way is an extreme when you leave grace out. But Jesus was 100% grace, 100% truth. And that's how we're supposed to live our life. 100% grace. See, I heard a preacher say this. It's like, is it mean to say that unless we believe on Jesus, we're going to go to hell? Is it mean to say that? And he said, it's not mean if it's true. Does that make sense? It's not mean if it's true. We don't get to settle the truth. My question to you today, have you received His grace? And as God's people, are we walking in grace and truth? Are we loving like Jesus? Are we being kind like Jesus? Are we being that person, but still never forsaking the truth? if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you today to be able to just to say, hey, I want that one. But you were talking about wanting to blank their minds out. But I came in here and I really haven't ever even heard that much about Jesus. This is the first time and I want him in my life. I want to invite you today to receive Jesus as your Savior. So as we stand to sing, you're invited. You can pray where you're at and receive Jesus right where you're at, but you're invited to come. I'd love to pray with you. And then after that, we have the gift for you. Let's stand and let's worship God.